Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, his servant, Yisrael, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. B'shem Yahusha HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Gracious and merciful Father, Holy One of Israel, in the name of thy Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King, we give praise, glory, and honor to your holy and to your most precious name. We thank thee first and foremost, Heavenly Father, for blessing each and every one of us with another day of life, allowing us to come together in fellowship on your holy Shabbat. We praise you and we thank you, Holy Father, for your grace and for your mercy, and we ask you to continue to shed upon us your compassion, forgiving us for our sin, for our iniquity that we have committed against you, knowingly and unknowingly. Holy One of Israel, we pray for those who are present. We pray for those who are en route. We pray for those, Heavenly Father, who are unable to make it because of various ailments that they have to deal with. Heavenly Father, above all things, we ask that your grace and your mercy be upon them, and that through your divine will, you bless them with your presence on this day, your holy Shabbat. Heavenly Father, as we continue to embark upon the study of your word, and by your word, your language that you, Heavenly Father, have given to humanity, by which you have delivered the words of life to your servants, the prophets, we ask for understanding, Heavenly Father, that we may grasp the information within the Holy Scripture that you have passed forth from generation to generation by way of your Holy Spirit. To our minds, Heavenly Father, that we may receive the truth of that word that you've given. Heavenly Father, engrave it upon our hearts and upon our minds that it may transform us by the renewing of our mind, Heavenly Father, that we become the sons and the daughters you desire us to be, that we be worthy of being called Hebrew Israelites, Heavenly Father, according to your divine will. We ask these things humbly and sincerely in the name of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King, Mashiach Yahushua. Hallelujah. Amen. Just going to talk a little bit, all may be seated, until Moray arrives, and he is on route. We are going to continue with the Hebrew class today, and just wanted to open up and see if anybody had any questions. First and foremost, I want to just make sure everybody's on the same page. So when I ask you, do you understand the concept is in regard to the foundation of the Hebrew language. Were you raising your hand? Okay. All right. Now, what we've been discussing, as the Moray has been bringing forth, Hebrew is based on what we refer to as a biliteral root system, which is you have two letters. These two letters are often referred to as being the parent root. And by the parent root, the implication is that you have a father and you have a mother, because typically a child has a father and a mother. That first letter that you find in the biliteral root system is considered to be the father, which is the dominant letter. And then that second letter is referred to as being the mother. Now, one of the points that was brought out last week, when you look at the root system, the first root that you develop from the parent root is considered to be the child root. And one of the ways that you develop that root, first, for example, take the word, matter of fact, the first word that's formed in the alphabet, which is your aleph and your bet. And that word is ab, which we understand to be the centerpiece, or that main pole in the tent. That is the strength of the house. We also understand it to be the father, who is also regarded as the strength of the house. And when you get the first child root from that aleph and that bet, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to double that second letter. So you're going to get the word abab. Now, when you hear the term abab, something should click, because it is from that term abab that we actually get the first Hebrew month, which is abib. Now, what you basically do, now you're building on that primitive or that child root by inserting another letter. And in the case of abib, you would add that yod between the two bets, and that abab now becomes abib. And that's how you form different or various Hebrew words in the Hebrew language, just starting off, you see. Because from that point, in other words, to build another type of child root, which you would do, you would now take that aleph, you would take that bet, and then you would then add one of the four vowels, which we understand to be the aleph, the he, the vav, and the yod, which are considered to be vowel as well as consonantal letters, okay, because of the different sounds, depending on the context that the word is being formed. And from those different formations, what you find is that's how you develop your child roots. And as the Moray was bringing out last week, when you get into that parent root and you get into forming a dot, now what you're doing, you're taking those same two letters, that father and that mother, and you're adding any of the other letters of the Hebrew language outside of the aleph and the hey, the Rav, and the Yod. And I'm going to stop right here. Let Moray go ahead and continue. You can put it on that, yeah.
Toda. Shabbat shalom to everyone. And apologize for my tardiness today. Let's jump right into the lesson. I want to say Toda to Moray Yakael for kicking it off for me in my absence. Yes, and just to refresh and reiterate, all what he said is true about the Hebrew language, the roots, parent roots, child roots. That is the basics of how this language system works. And once we start to grow and understand that aspect of it, the rest, to be honest, it's a lot simpler. I won't say it's easy, but it's a lot simpler once you understand that is the basic foundation of this language, the two-letter root system. And once you start to grow and understand what these two-letter roots mean, then the rest is just building upon, which we will get into the second half. This is the third week. As we get into the fourth, fifth, and sixth week, then we're going to start really building upon what we've learned as far as the root systems are concerned. Yeah. But today, what I want to talk about is Hebraic thought and the difference between concrete thinking versus abstract thinking and how different our foreparents and even our Heavenly Father thinks as opposed to our thinking. You know, one of the things that one scripture that comes to mind is in Isaiah when he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways, but as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts from your thoughts and my ways from your ways." Yes. And, you know, as we progress and we learn this lifestyle and we start to get reacquainted with the ways that were lost by our foreparents, you know, we start to really grow to a point where keeping Abba's ways are not difficult. It's a challenge at times, but it's not difficult, you know, especially when you think of, you know, our experience and, you know, where we start out, you know, you start keeping Shabbat when you're not used to keeping Shabbat the first time you keep it because you're not used to keeping it. It's a little difficult, but the more you continue in keeping his Shabbat, it goes from having challenges and the sense of maybe not understanding what to do or not, you know, getting adjusted to doing things differently than what you're used to doing things on Friday night. We're listening to the lesson from last. Our society conditions us to view Friday in a particular way. You know, Friday night is party night. You know, when you're in the world, that's what you look forward to. I mean, one of the songs that was quoted last night, "Just Got Paid, Friday night." You know, the whole thing is, and that's the weekend anthem right there.
Right.
You know, I got money in my pocket, and I'm going to party with, you know. No, imagine if somebody made a song here, "Just Got Paid, Time to Pay Tithes." You know, I don't think that's going to sell the way "Just Got Paid Friday Night" is. You know, but for us, you know, it's "Just Got Paid, Paying My Tithes." You know, think about Shabbat, it's coming tonight. You know, that. But we have to grow to that. You know, and it takes time. Same thing with this language. You know, and that's why it is the way it is. It deals with parents, then children. You know, it deals with the root system. I think of, you know, our teacher. One of the things that he used to always express to us was simplicity.
Right.
You know, everybody wants to shoot for the deep things. Everybody wants to shoot for the stars. Everybody wants to go into the third, fourth, and fifth astral plane, you know, when we don't have these solid foundations. And even in, you know, our counterparts, one of the things that they say is, you know, certain things you shouldn't even delve into until you're in your 40s, until you have reached a certain point in your life. And then you have a solid foundation in the basics of this lifestyle. But, you know, you see everybody wants to jump off into, you know, the deep, 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 deep. You know, you can barely wade in the water that's just up to your waist. But then, you know, you want to jump into, you know, the 10 and 12 foot dive inside of the pool before you really know the basics of swimming. You know, I had an experience like that when I first was learning how to swim in high school. You know, you had a lot of kids who, before they really understood how to swim, they wanted, you know, just, you know, jump in and you know, and dive. And I had just learned how to dive, and I dove into the pool. Get off the diving board, boom, 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 dove into the pool. You know, the kid behind me, not realizing that, you know, before you jump in, you make sure the other person comes up to the surface. I was midway up to the surface, then bam, he comes crashing down on top of me. That's how I chipped my tooth. He comes crashing down on top of my head. I get slammed back down to the bottom of the pool, you know, kept my calm, thankfully, and, you know, swam back up to the top. But that's what happens sometimes when you don't do things with caution. You know, you can be a detriment to yourself and even worse, a detriment to others. One thing to put yourself in danger, but it's a whole other thing than to put others in danger. And what people are doing with a lot of the stuff that they're broadcasting on social media and YouTubes and Instagram and all this stuff, they're doing people such a disservice because they want to figure out what does it mean, what does the firmament mean, and why is the firmament there and all this sort of stuff, as opposed to just taking it for face value and dealing with it from what the word says, and even just taking some time to delve into the basics of this language. You know, you don't need, you find out in its simplicity, it's deep enough by itself. It doesn't need mystical teachings to support it. It just needs very basic understanding to support it. And that's why Hebraic thought is based on a certain type of thinking. And that's what we're going to discuss today. When we think of the term concrete, what comes to mind? Anyone?
Something,
that's solid. Concrete is one of our main building materials in this day and age. Right? And think about it. Think about the word. And we don't want to separate the word from the class, because one of the things I'm realizing is that everything that the word talks about and Yahushua talked about is based on this language and the thought process of this language. What did he say in one of the parables? About the man building his house on sand as opposed to building his house on a rock, something that was solid. So the reason why this language is based on concrete, when you're thinking, I need a new pen. Because it is solid. And we're going to see some examples today why this language is so solid. And the truth be told, with just basic information, basic understanding of these letters, you can really start to understand what it is that is being conveyed to us by our Heavenly Father through the writers. But I did want to... Todai. Okay. So the first thing I would like for us to do, Shalom, is to describe or look at the definition, the word. I'm going to start with abstract first, y'all, because the truth of the matter is most of us relate to this in abstract terms, or relate to life in abstract terms. For example, I'm going to put a word up on the board. L-I-G-H-T. What does that word spell?
Light.
Okay. Which light am I talking about? But this is a word in our language, right? But which light am I talking about? What's that?
Depends on how it's used.
Depending on how it's used, right? Depending on how it's used, this term light could mean the lights that we have on in the room, or it could be a particular object, correct? Okay. That's a simple example of abstract thinking. Or abstract, abstract thinking, because you cannot know without any certainty what this word means unless I put it in a sentence, right? Or unless I express it in a particular way. Another word. I'm a Dr. Zusar. The light is right. So, what does this word spell?
Right.
R-I-G-H-T. Which right am I talking about? Depends on how I use it. I could be talking about the direction of right, or I could be talking about the right in terms of what is entitled to you. Correct? Right? That's another way right could be used. Whether or not I said something, what's that? Whether it's a correct or false, right? Right? But you catch my drift? But I do want to define abstract. One of my favorite rappers refers to himself as the abstract. Why? because he can use complex metaphors and pithy maxims in order to relay a thought that will continue you on a path to think more thoughts. And that's what Abstract does. It just gives you thought after thought after thought after thought as to why it means. It's like Picasso's art. You know, when you everybody's into this Basquiat guy and his artwork, you know, and looking at it and, you know, what they claim to the untrained eye, you know, you got to be trained to look at artwork to decipher what it means. So you take like a guy like Jackson Pollock who just drips paint all over a canvas and it can get sold for hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, literally he would just drip paint and people would look at that and ponder it and ponder it and ponder it and say, you know, what's that? It is foolishness. When you think about it, really, when you think about it, and you can think about somebody that was reading or it was either a video or something that I was reading, and it was a guy describing to was a rabbi what fiction meant. Stories. You know, because you have some people who sequester themselves to the point where they don't watch TV, they don't read anything outside of what the word, or in their case, maybe the Talmud or whatever. So he tried to describe to him fiction. And he had this lofty explanation about what fiction is. He said, and the rabbi looked at him and said, oh, lies, you mean? Because when you think of what fiction is, if it's not based on truth, and think of some of the greatest literary pieces that we hold dear to in our country, in our educational system. I remember reading Of Mice and Men. Was it John Steinbeck wrote that? That all came from inside his head. The two characters in that book weren't real people. But people, I mean, this is part of what we study in American society as literature so that we can be educated on how to think and to view things. The Great Gatsby. It was a fictitious book about a man who lived a fictitious life by things he made up. I remember reading all of these in school. And we had to study these chapter by chapter by chapter by chapter by chapter. The Color Purple, which is one of the most dear pieces of literary work among black people in this country. I mean, was it August Wilson? Are you all okay? Oh, yeah, thank you. See? Ask a sister. She knows. I watched it one time, I think, when it first came out, and don't have the energy to watch it again. So Alice Walker wrote this piece of work, and it was all stuff that came from inside her head. You understand what I'm saying? So Abba don't do fiction. He's all about nonfiction and facts and truth. You know, it doesn't exist in his realm. There's no term for that in Hebrew because it doesn't jive with Hebraic thinking. So, abstract. This is Webster's definition of it. Relating to or involving general ideas or qualities rather than specific people, objects is another definition when it relates to art. Expressing ideas and emotions by using elements such as colors and lines without attempting to create a realistic picture.
Come on. Hallelujah.
I'm trying to mimic the theme for Friends, you know. One of America's greatest comedies, Seinfeld, whatever the thing was from Seinfeld, some Different Strokes, whatever, Facts of Life shows I used to watch growing up, was all based on lies and stories. Sure, they tried to give us some type of moral truth or something, you know, in some of the episodes, but at the end of the day, this is all make-believe. All make-believe, you know, but people get paid millions of dollars for make-believe. Look at some of the other definitions, some of the synonyms associated with abstract. Disassociated, difficult to understand, insufficiently factual, expressing a quality apart from an object. Okay? So, I mean, I could go on and on and on. So, I mean, we get in the picture here as far as how this thinking is so out of touch with Abba's thinking. And just for the sake of being fair, let's look at concrete. Oh, come on now, no advertisement. They punish you for not paying a dollar sometimes. Good Lord. I don't want to pay a dollar for your app. But there's a difference. Okay, first of all, concrete, made of concrete, but relating to or involving specific people, things, or actions rather than general ideas or qualities. Naming a real thing or class of thing formed by a coalition of particles into one solid mass, characterized by or belonging to immediate experience or actual things or events. So Abba don't want us to be on some old LSD or acid trip.
Man.
You see what I'm saying? He wants us rooted in reality. And one of the things, like I said, when you go online and you follow some of these cats, boy, they have you dealing in all kinds of alternate realities and trying to figure out what the word of God says when it's not supposed to be like that.
Man.
It's not. And one of the things is there was a debate about whether or not Abba keeps secrets from his people. But he says in his word, look, what I reveal belongs to you and your son. What I conceal belongs to me forever because they're mine. But what he has revealed, and if anything in his Torah is revealed, that means it belongs to us, and it is we are supposed to be able to understand. You deal with the Messiah. When he came along, and it said that he would speak in dark or covert, hidden things. But one of the things that he always did, when he talked to the masses, he gave the masses things that they could understand. He gave them terms, the seed sower. Look, back then, everybody at least had the knowledge of whether or not you did it or not, or you had service. Everybody had the knowledge of planting and the process of planting. So he gave them the parable of the seed sower and what it, and so that they could get an idea of what he was trying to convey to them. But to those who were within his inner circle, because he did not want them to be in any state of confusion, and so that way when other people came and would ask them about it, he said, look, I'm going to tell y'all exactly what this story is relating to. So then that way there would be no instance of any confusion or obscurity about what he is trying to relate. One of the things that was said in the word is, do not cast your pearls among swine. And see, so for people who might want to say, well, you're saying he actually hides stuff. See, just like we talked about, I believe, last week or the week before, this is a treasure.
Man.
And these are the treasures that are specifically in Abba's bedroom.
Man.
And just like you wouldn't let just anybody come up in your house, I know in my house growing up, I ain't just walk up in my parents' bedroom. Not saying I didn't go up in their bedroom, but it was a definite invitation. And I bet not sneak up in there without them knowing and get caught, because the punishment would be swift and severe.
Right.
Now, I would dip into the closet where my father kept some of his stash, but see, that was a whole different situation. If he really didn't want me to go buy that dollar, he would have kept it in the bedroom, because I knew better than to go in there. But his closet was outside my door. So I would daintily sneak in there and borrow some lunch money, or at least back then some Twinkie money. But anyway, concrete versus abstract thinking. So we I think we got the idea so far, right? Definitely on the abstract, in the sense of abstract thinking. Now let's start dealing with some concrete. Did everyone bring their hand out from last week? Who's the good student? You the good student? My man. Let me see if I got any extra, because this is important. If not, can we buddy up? You didn't get one last week? I think I got a couple more. I'm going to ask everyone to buddy up. Anyone? Huh? Got that? Because we're going to use our table. And I love this little table because it gives us all the information that we need. So I was going to use this one originally, but I was like, man, this one's just a little bit too complicated for right now. I'll be going to the same thing in a very simplistic
fashion.
This language, when I say it's simple, I don't mean simple in the terms of foolish or simple in the terms of it's too easy. See, that's abstract thinking. But in the sense of you don't have to have a PhD behind your name. Say there's only two letters you need behind your name. You know, like I watch at work, you know, even people who just have a bachelor's degree want to put the BS behind it. BS. You know, let alone the ones who got DRN this and DDS this and all on each chest and walking around. And, you know, they've got these higher level of degrees and they can implement policies and all sorts of stuff. I only need two letters behind my name.
Hallelujah.
The old name.
That's right.
Good enough for me. And if I want to get complicated, I'll put Yahushua's name behind, and I'll put Yahweh's name behind, and I'll put Elohim. Therefore, I wish I could. I can't wait for my kingdom high to badge.
Man.
Put all that behind it. But anyway, so I'm going to put a few letters up on the board. Some might be familiar with this, and some might not, but it's going to help build our vocabulary as we progress with it. So, I'm going to start with this. One that we're already familiar with, just to warm us up. So what is that? Anyone? Now just use the definition of the letters to describe what this means. Leader of the family, right? Leader of the house, strength of the family, strength of the house. That's the father. Now, Abba gives us something concrete to deal with that because it also relates to what? Him, yes. But what else?
Son of Paul.
Just bear with me now. It's my abstract artwork. Right? What does TV Chris. Okay. What is this right here? All right, I'll tell you what it is. It's the big top. It's the tent, right?
Amen.
It's the canopy. That main pole, as we've learned through experience,
Amen.
Don't have that main pole. If you don't have that center beam, and even in the house, if you don't have that center beam, if you don't have that load-bearing wall, thank you. There's what in every house, there's what's just two main components to building a house, right? Laying that foundation, right? And you start that foundation based on what used to be the cornerstone. Used to be where the ancient architects used to lay that foundation. You know why Yahushua relates to it? I am the chief cornerstone. I am what everything is built upon, right? Once you lay that foundation, because that foundation comes first.
Man.
And build. Well, you got to dig. Well, you think about before they started to invent basements and cellars and all that type of stuff. Once you started to build with brick and mortar, you had to have that starting point that you use to lay everything in its pattern after. Okay? But then once you started to erect the thing now, start to build the walls and the roof and everything around it, everything was based off of this design. What bared the main load? That's why you have in houses a load-bearing wall. Certain beams you cannot mess with. Once that beam is messed with, you find a fissure in this, a crack in this somewhere, guess what? The whole structure is weakened at that point. The whole structure is subject to collapse. This right here is the foundation of our faith, and that's why this word comes first. without that Aleph and that Bet, without that father, without that strength contained within the house, all things will come to ruin. Okay? Now, after that, we're going to deal with another thing. Okay? Oh, why? You know, I do that all the time. Why did I erase that? I still got to put it back up. We'll deal with another prime. Y'all see that? Right? Let's use our sheep. What is that? This word is ak. Ak. The aleph and the chet. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What does that word tell you?
Strong wall.
Strong wall. Strong wall. Strong wall. Well, now, when you think about a strong wall, what does that denote to you? Something that can hold you up? Yes? Yeah. Cain? Where your brother Abel at? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Very important to understand how important that term is as it relates to your relationship with your fellow believers. You see, that was a railing against Yah.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew what that word meant. He knew that he was supposed to be a strong protector from everything. He was supposed to contain his brother within his protective circle.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So now when you look at this word and it's, the leader of separation, the leader of defense, the leader of the wall, the strength of defense, the strength of the preparation, the strength of the wall, that word being used for brother, one that should not be taken lightly. Because even with this being, he could have used any other word to relate to brother, but he wants us to understand by looking at this word what it means when we use that term, brother or ak. So he gives us something concrete. He gives us that wall. When I am in here, when I am in the presence of my brother, I know of no other place. When I'm at work, I got somebody that I need to relate to, that I can't relate to, that I know got my back. I head over to the beverage section where I usually look for my brother first.
Right.
I find the people know when I come in. Oh, your brother over there. I just seen Keith. Oh, let me check and see if he's there. I ain't even got to say nothing. I ain't even got to say to people, hey, y'all see my brother? Hey, yo, where my brother at? Hey, y'all see Keith? They automatically know. Oh, no. If I mess up and come in this Tuesday and look for him, which generally I know now, I don't look for him because he's off every Tuesday after pay. You know, they'll still come up to me and they'll say, hey, but nah, I'm just going to get my coffee today. Oh, okay, because you know he's not here today. Thank you. But they know
that
I'm coming to stand beside my strong wall.
Right.
Okay? Go off script a little bit to you. This is one of the words I love. What does that word mean? Just looking at the picture.
You should turn. See the door.
See the door. Right? Watch the door.
Watch the movie.
Watch the movie. Watch the entrance. Watch the door, right? Experience the movie. Now, what does this word mean? Do we know what this word means? The I am and the dollar? Witness. So, and it's so funny. Growing up in New York, they used to have this. And we have it down here too.
Mm-hmm.
Eyewitness news.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, look, late breaking. You always go to somebody, they find a person in the audience without no teeth, you know, looking real shabby, and they say, sir, did you see what took place here today? Why? Because they want to know who was watching the movement.
Man.
Who had experienced what was going on out there. And I love this language. I love it. It's so simple. Hey, just find somebody who's watching the movement. Right? So he says in his word, ye are my watchers of my movement. Concrete.
Right.
Is anybody not understanding this? Please say so. Because it's you good? No, I'm not going to move from here until we are. Look, I'm going to wait until that one person gets to the other side.
That's right.
Before the water's pulled up. I'm not going to move on until I'm sure, because what this is one of the words that Abba gives us is truly one of the concrete words. For it to mean someone who okay. So what is causing the difficulty? Let's talk about friends. Yes. I do forget. It's my fault for being late. I'm going to keep it right here. Is that okay? Oh, there you go. I can wait.
Uh-oh, I did something. Okay. Okay, hallelujah. I need an ear. It is my ear. I think I'm good. It's the glasses, actually. All right. Aunt Karen? We good? You sure? Okay. Let me see the other paper. Okay. So you see it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you see how it relates to being a witness and why Yahweh would use those two letters to actually mean witness. Well, yes, Dalet, yes, right. Watch mover, because that Dalet represents a door and it moves back and forth, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. Your eye is seeing the movement. But what kind of movement? Okay. So let me ask you something. Did any of your children ever stay out past daytime? Did you ever wait for them to come in? Why? You want to see, right? What was you watching, though? What was you watching? Yeah, what were you looking at to see what time they came in, whether or not they came in, how late they stayed out beyond their curfew time? What did you do? You did what? You locked your door. Why? You watching your door to see whether or not they coming in that door, because you want to see with your own two eyes whether or not what they relate to you matched your experience with their actions. Right? Yes? Yeah, so you sat there, right? I'm quite sure. Now, my mother would come find me around the corner with a frying pan in her hand, and she would stand there like this and say, beat me home. Or else. See, my mother wasn't the type to sit and watch the door. She didn't want to experience it from that angle. She won't watch me go in the door. She wasn't waiting for me. She gonna watch from the outside me going in the door. She ain't gonna sit back. She ain't gonna sit back and wait and watch. Click, click, tick, 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 tick. You understand what I'm saying? So is it making a little bit of sense? You know, you watching it because you want to make sure that they can't tell you anything from what you seen slash experienced with your own two eyes, right? So when Yahweh say we are his witnesses, he can't nobody tell us something we haven't watched and seen for ourselves. You see what I'm saying? You understand now? It's making sense? We cooking with gas? Let's put some barbecue sauce on it. All right? So that's where it's at with that, okay? So we are his witnesses because we follow in his ways. We keep in Shabbat. We coming in the Pesach season. You know how I know we coming in the Pesach season? Because I'm having problems. He wants us to be able to say to the people based on our personal experience, because how do we know that if we don't put the tent up right, that it ain't going to work? Why? We done been out to Sukkot. Did you go to ST? Okay, so anybody who's been camping, I think everybody in here has been camping during Sukkot. If you don't put your tarp up right, what happens? Huh? It falls down, right? If you don't put your tent up and your tarp up right, what happens? And nobody wants to be out in the woods wet. We can deal with cold. We can deal with the heat. We can deal with the wind. But something about once that water seeps in, what the chief Hebrew engineer do one year? Part the tent. I didn't do that at the time. Put the tent right over in the spot where it floods. Now, now the tent did its job. It kept the water from coming in from the outside. But because it was in a place where water was prone to flooding, hey, that's beyond the specifications of that thing. But we know from experience. But each year, we hallelujah. Don't get the site by the bathroom if you want some sleep. And definitely don't get site, what is it, 214, whichever one it was, something like that, where the water's going, where all the water from the cat is coming through. So, but we know that now because we've experienced that. How to at least try to stay dry. How to beat the elements, and it's a work in progress. Every year we think we got it. then Yahweh say, keep trying, you know. But we learned that. Even now, look, we went from a place of using a calendar to watch when the seasons would come into. What do we do now? What do we do now? We watch our heavenly time clock. We watch what Abba gave us. And what did he say he placed those things up there for? For signs, for seasons, and for days. And what's one of those words? I think it's for seasons. Mo'edim. Od. That witness. So he said he gave those as witnesses for those who are watching and experiencing his movement. See, so now we're at the first or second day of the full moon, or maybe we're on the other side of it now, right? So we know. Came in last night, right? See, that's the chief watchman of the moon, the second chief watchman of the moon, right? Right? Huh? He's that one that whose eyes are supposed to be on that movement. He's supposed to be experiencing that movement. And the last couple of nights, my brother told me, I seen it, he seen it. That moon was full in the sky from the time it rose the night before it was up there before the sun. He ain't go to sleep. Even after the sun came up, the moon was still up there if anybody else saw it. I know we talked about it, right? So now we're marking that time because what? Now we know we've got 14, maybe 15 days, and then maybe another 29 to 30 days before we start to enter into what? Abib. We just talked about it. Right? So we're witnessing, we're watching now. You know, this is a very important word. And I love how he put it. Just keep your eye on the door. Keep your eye on the door. Anyway, sorry, y'all. I can't help myself. It's because I love y'all and I love this. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I don't want to do another word. Oh, what did I do? Oh, I kept it out too long. What is that word? Did I mess that up? Sorry, Aunt Karen. I took the paperwork. Yes, ma'am. A load of pie. Sorry if I drew this wrong. This should be the bet. That's right. Okay, this should be the bet. And this is the noon. The noon. Anybody remember what this word means? Ben? The bet and the noon? The S-U-N or S-O-N? Oh, abstract.
Come on now.
Abstraction. Yes, sun sister. Not S-U-N, but S-O-N, sun. Right? So, but what do we get from when we look at these letters? When we use our chart, use our chart, and what does that tell us? And see, now I purposely did not want to use the dictionary. I wanted to use just the chart so that way we could see, even without a dictionary, not to discount a dictionary, not to discount it because we do need our Hebraic dictionaries, but to just show that we can use these letters and learn what Abba is teaching us. So what is this? The bet is the house, right? The family. And in, right? The nun is the seed, fish, life, continue. So what can we gather from this word, from these two letters? Okay? Say it again. You want to try? Go ahead, Ema, come on, do it. The seed of the house, right? Or the house of the seed, right? Okay, yes. The house continues. The family continues. The family life. So when you have a son, the son's purpose is to continue that family.
Man.
To keep life, keep the name going. When we think about Yahushua and his work and what he did, right?
Yes.
Because of what he did and his work, his father's house will continue on.
Amen.
It will continue on. And see, people will look at the fact that, well, he ain't had no children. So how could his father's house continue on? He ain't had no kids. He wasn't really the Messiah. He wasn't the Son of God. Because the word says you should be fruitful and multiply. Well, it's like what they used to say about your heavenly father, I mean your spiritual father versus your earthly father. He says your earthly father brings you into this life. But your spiritual father / heavenly father brings you into the next life. The real life. See, because this is not the real reality.
Amen.
See, what is yet to come is when we enter into what's real.
Yes.
So, him coming and doing his work, see, he continued his father's house because he says it. In my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't tell you this. See, because of what he did now, we are able to inherit and continue in his father's house.
Amen.
So whereas he may not have had physical children, per se, his work, by virtue of his work, we are now still continuing his father's house. Why? Because if you believe in Yahushua, you believe in Yahweh, you continue the work of Yahweh, and Yahushua's work and his father's work does not go in vain. We good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I do it to myself every time. Let's do one more word. What is this word? Huh? Oh. Break it down. Break it down. Huh? Mhm. Mhm. What's that, sir?
I said that's good.
The strong shepherd, right? Now this word is translated into our language into God. No. But in Hebrew, this word is Al, right? And that's what we use to denote power. You know, when you think about the staff or teacher, what else is a staff or teacher a symbol of? Leadership, right? When you think about what our forefathers were known for, which was shepherding. You know, this is in the scriptures. You know, those detestable Hebrews, they were detestable to the Egyptians, because the Egyptians were into other stuff. We were into livestock, and, you know, we were people of the field, right? So that staff was one of the, oy! Shalom, shalom, shalom. That's right. And that shepherding staff was one of the most important tools of the shepherd. Why? Because with that shepherding staff, he had that little hook on it because, you know, sheep like to do their little thing. So every once in a while, you know, he might not be able to catch up to him, so he got to use it and gently pull him back in line. Gently pull him back in line. Gently pull him back. So he had the power, right? He was the one that was in charge and watching over that flock. So now when you think about it, and that shepherd is the strong leader, you know. So now most people, they say, well, how could that word point to, the, you know, the higher power? How could that point to the quote-unquote God? Well, he made this word in such a way. And why did his son come down and relate to himself as the shepherd, the sheep herder, sheep herder? Well, one, for many reasons. And why does it even say that in the word that ye are El, ye are these powers? Well, you know, everybody wants to get off into superhuman and supernatural things. And, but it's real simple. You don't have to fly. You don't have to push apart pillars. You don't necessarily have to walk on water. You don't have to necessarily raise the dead. Your bones don't have to be so infused. Those are all great byproducts of being infused with his power, but just being able to stand up and articulate and stand on his behalf by being a strong teacher, by being a leader and a shepherder, a leader, a teacher. And see, why is it also associated with to and from? Because, come on, you know, you do have, if you ever watch, you ever watch, and I think, which country, you know, over there in Europe, and I think in Ireland is still a country where they're big on sheep. You ever watch some of those videos of how, you know, that shepherd does it? He actually stands behind the flock. He keeps his eye on the flock from behind, but he's still leading them. They're still going in the direction that he wants them to go. And you think about it, even when you look at some of those videos where the little boys are leading them, he has to stand in charge over them to protect them from themselves sometimes. So you don't necessarily have to, just being able to set a good example, set the right example, is a powerful thing in Yahweh's eye, because there are several words or terms that are used for the different ways that people teach.
Right.
There's a way to teach by just coming up and talking. There's a way to teach by example. He said, I chose Abraham. Think about what the other part of the Shema says. It says, teach them to your children diligently while you sit in your home. You can teach while not necessarily being active in the sense. While you walk on the way, now you're doing something. When you lie down, you're supposed to teach your children. And then when you rise up, you're always supposed to be in an active state of instructions. That means that your life is to be an example of how you have a relationship with the Creator. Did you have something else?
I was going to say, just piggyback with you.
Turkey back.
While he stands behind it. Because that's where an attack is going to come from. He's standing behind this kind of sheep because no animal is, not too many of their predators are going to come head on. They're going to come from behind. Wolves do the same thing. A wolf pack, the leader of the pack stays in the back. And anybody who's sick or old is up front. Where the rest of the pack is in the same way. So Alpha is actually leading the group from the back.
Amen.
And the shepherd does the same thing.
One of the things that I was told, that if you are confronted with a dangerous animal, in particular a dog, that you should not turn your back to it. Why? Because it's more prone to attack you because it knows that you're unaware of its presence. Whereas if you stand your ground with it and try not to act too aggressive, it is more likely then to keep its distance. And it also gives you the ability to also protect yourself. So we see that you're a protector, you're a teacher, you're a leader. That is why you are in a position of quote unquote power. I saw you have your pensive face on. All right. Any questions so far? Anything? All right. And I think that was, I'll do one more. Do one more. Another word we are familiar. But are we seeing it so far, how simple this language is? And do we see how people have made it more complex? I mean, we're not using a dictionary. I mean, if you want to, we can use a dictionary to go and verify everything that's being said. But based on what we've learned so far, if you use the letters and you understand the letters for what they are, it's really simple. It's concrete. So my brother used to say, a fool need not err. That's how simple it is, you know, that with just basic knowledge and think about it. One of the things that line that Moray Yaka'el likes to use is, what was that line? Teach it to me as though I were a what?
Oh,
a 4-year-old. You know, and but you use it. You quote it a lot, right? But you think about it. We are called his children. We're not called the adults of Yahweh. We're not called the pre-adolescents of Yahweh. You know, we are called the children of Yahweh. So he gave us a childlike language, still a very powerful language, but simple language. So you think about it. You know, now once you get into translating it and you get into, you know, twisting it and putting all sorts of abstraction and this is where, you see, this is where people attack the quote-unquote Bible from. Because now when people get in and they translate it and they don't have the spirit of Yahweh, they don't have Yahweh's best intentions in mind, then guess what? You put words in there and you gloss over, you cover over these words and you obscure them so that people cannot understand them. So then you start to use all kinds of fiction and falsehood. How does somebody use the Bible to support Easter?
No.
It's impossible. How does somebody use the Bible to support Christmas? It's impossible. How does somebody use the Bible to support January 1st as being New Year's Day? It's impossible. But you have people who, by way of teaching, abstraction, confusion, and fiction, have taken these simple words and have brought people down to damnation as a result of it. Let's just be quite honest about it. You know, when the scriptures talk about damnable heresies, that's what those things are. Because they're bringing people to destruction because these people are not able to have a proper relationship with their Heavenly Father because people have taken the simple understanding of His Word and have made it this very, even our Jewish counterpart have done that. You know, I have two books that I was using, and one book, it explains it, but in order for me to relate it, I have to have a PhD in Jewish thinking in order to relate it. When I go into the other book, it's like how somebody can be so eloquent without using as many words. How somebody can make such a strong statement with just one sentence, as opposed to, you know, and anyway, simplicity. Let's always keep that in mind about His Word, and you know, take this. I'm gonna do one more word. Said I was gonna do one more word, right?
Okay.
What is that word? Nob, move, the nun and the bet. Let's use our Hebrew chart. Now, what is this the word for? What's that? Fruit. Who said that? Fruit. Nob. Why? Seed, house. Right? It's fruit. What about fruit? It reproduces, but what about fruit? I eat an apple every day. Huh? Yes, it is nutritious. I'm going to tell you, apple a day will truly keep the doctor away. It will keep you going. I like to go. The seed lives inside. And one of the things that Abba has told us before, he said, what did he say from the beginning? What did he create? Fruit that had seeds that could bear things after its kind. Right? So this word being fruit, we see it right now. Strawberries, but they come to find out what? Strawberry isn't really a fruit. It's just like a sweet vegetable. I think, right? But we see it's the seed is housed within, the seed house. That's what a fruit is, a seed house. But now this word also is the root word for what? P-R-O-F-I-T, P-R-O-F-E-T, right?
Okay.
Now, when everybody thinks of a prophet, you know, they think of Abraham, Moses, Elisha, Elijah, Yahushua, you know, but he says the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach automatically identifies and associates somebody with the spirit of prophecy. Why? Because that seed, which is the word of Abba, the word of Yahweh, is housed within that individual. See, because there's a difference between you have people who can see the future. And see, that's not always associated with, quote unquote, the prophet of Yahweh. It ain't always about seeing the future and looking down time, you know, because, hey, look, from what they told us, there's this dude named Nostradamus, some French dude, right, who was able to look into his scry, his mystical ball, and he's able to look down in time. Does he house the seed of Yahweh? Does he house the seed of Yahweh? He does not, because one of the things that we are told in Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter, he said, look, you're going to have people that come amongst you that they're going to see things, they're going to say things, they're going to predict things, and these things will, in fact, come to pass. I made it so. But here's the test for you, Israel. If they say to you, and I met a man down at the hospital one day, and so funny now I think about him, he used to look like Uncle Ruckus. He had one, you might remember him. Remember that dude? Look just like Uncle Ruckus. He had one eye, and he would come up to you and tell you all kinds of things about yourself. He would look at you with that one eye that was wide open, and he'd start saying, you know what, brother? You had such and such and such going on, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, how did he know that I had that going on? And you had such and such and such going on. And everything he would say to me would be true. I went down to the conference, and this guy, he read me from left to right and everything that was going on in my life. But said, after he said, in the name of Jesus. And I said, thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Time he see me, he would stop and stare at me for a minute, and I'd be all freaked out because that eye be looking at me, just like Uncle Ruckus. He had that big Uncle Ruckus eye. And he'd be looking at me, and he'd start saying all this stuff. And it used, I remember talking to about Gershon Ben Daniel about it, you know, because he used to freak me out. Like, how does he know all this stuff? And he comforted me, and he said, look, man, Hashatah knows stuff. Ain't secrets or ain't everything kept from him. You know, I'll be even saying, you consider him a servant, Job, so he'll give him some information. But the test is now, when he starts saying, in the name of Jesus, these things will come to pass in your life. You know, brother, would you like to come here teaching? I'm going to be doing? No, thank you. No, thank you. See, that's where the difference is now. If they start leading you astray, Yahweh said, now pick up your stone and let that be the last prophecy to come out his mouth. Tell him, thank you very much for the warning. Thank you very much for the information. Blow. Okay? So he said, kill him. Because he's a false prophet. I gave him some information. Balaam, look at Balaam. Prophet for hire. What? You know, he's a prophet for hire. Hey, Balaam, I want you to curse Israel for me. Take this $50. Go curse Israel for me. And he says, sure, man, no problem. I'm a prophet. I got this. I'm going to tell them that they're going to lose this battle. Yahweh going to uphold you. He's going to strengthen you through the battle. And he will not leave you in your time of distress. Israel, just look towards Yahweh. You know, came to the point where he said, look, man, I'll tell you like this. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. You know, he couldn't do it. Why? Because you can't bless what Yahweh cursed, and you can't curse what Yahweh has blessed. But anyway, but there is another word that Yahweh uses for seeing. We're not even going to get into that word. But housing the seed, that is how you know, and last night we were talking about the fruits of the Spirit, right? And, you know, it struck me because he had a rough week. I think you said that last night in the teaching. But one of the things that we had to do, you know, because it's so funny because when you're teaching, you know, you bear yourself. Sometimes you bear yourself. No, remember you bearing yourself. You know, but it was a rough week for me, a very rough week. And Murphy's Law went to say he tried everything he could to prevent me, man. My gas light came on, had to dodge the popo, you know, and everything to get here, you know. But I said, Father, I'm persevering. I don't know what you're trying to teach me. I don't know what I'm supposed to learn. But Father, I'm pushing through. You know, remember that episode back in the day, through on Sesame Street when the avalanche came over? I was just like a Cookie Monster, eating through all that tribulation. Get here, you know? And Yahweh rewards you because he gives you beautiful things outside of his word. Have we learned some things about his way of thinking, Hebraic thought? How does he think? concretely. He gave you solid. You know, his foundation is solid. You know, there's no guessing with what he teaches. There's just learning. There's just experiencing. You know? So any questions? That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. And see, that's right. And see, and that's an important thing. I'm glad you brought that up, Aki, especially in light of last night's teaching. Because see, if Yahweh give you something, He bless you with something, right? He say, I lay before you fire and water, life and death. Choose you which day you want. Now He'll give you a gift. Once Yahweh give you a gift, it's yours. He gives it to you, it's yours. Now, you can corrupt that gift.
That's right.
You can misuse that gift. And that's why he says, look, I had these people that I had. Think about it. Abraham. Did he just have Isaac? Truth be told, Isaac was the second one to the game. Right? He had Ishmael first and loved Ishmael. He spent 13 years loving Ishmael before Isaac was even born. So just think about the time he had spending with Ishmael and the things that he taught to Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the chosen seed. He married Keturah, had children with Keturah, and the word says he gave them gifts. We are amongst Midianites, which are our cousins, Moabites, which are our cousins. We're among our relatives. And those relatives have been given gifts, times gifts that we don't even have as Israel. But at the end of the day, what makes the difference is the gift, how that gift is used by his children. You see what I'm saying? So Ishmaelites have gotten something. Midianites, Moabites, blah, 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 all the different, you know, because Midian was one of his children, and we were closely interacting with them. Who was Jethro? Priest. Wait a minute. You mean there was a priest prior to Levi? You see what I'm saying? And Moshe was able to learn from this man on how to do so, on how to properly shepherd a flock? So that means there are other people out there with gifts. The thing is deciphering and knowing what spirit that person is. And when we say spirit, not, you know, spirit, but the mindset and energy that person is coming with. Where is it coming from? Is his mindset in tune with me, or is his mindset in tune with other things? You see what I'm saying? And this is where a lot of our Hebrew brothers and sisters are getting lost in, because you got a lot of garbage out there between YouTube and Instagram. Oh, you know, it's like, anyway, so we good? All right. Well, if no one has any questions or comments, until next week, I am going to say shalom. Stay concrete. Yeah, hit the like button. I watched a funny video with that this week. This guy was just so crazy. But anyway, hallelujah. Can I get you close this out, Aki? Hallelujah.
Bring us a little bit more closer to your face, teaching us your language, how simple that you, how you want to relate.
Amen.
You don't have to go search and go out in left field, but you said that you're the part that you need. And your language is simplest.
Amen.
Father, just let us continue to work towards being closer to you and bridging that gap that seems far,
man.
Continue to work on our minds, Father. Continue to show us your ways. Continue to develop those spirits that you desire. Thank you for giving your son your children. We ask that you continue to put your spirit, our brother, Ariel,
man.
Bring forth your word.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
El Shaddai. El Shaddai. El Elyon. Adonai. Ace to wait. You're still saved by the power of the name. Couldn't come.